Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer and WNYC coming up in 10 minutes, the rules for getting around. We will let you write a rule book of subway etiquette. And you can post your subway etiquette rule proposals right now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll talk about them in about 10 minutes. Also, Digesting Politics is back. If you haven't heard, it's our weekly podcast where Andrea Bernstein, Bob Henley, and I discuss politics over lunch. In this week's edition that we just recorded yesterday, the coup in Albany deconstructed. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature, not heard on the radio. You can sign up for free at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, have you tried out the lounge chairs in Times Square yet? In case you've missed them, the city has shut down Broadway from 42nd to 47th Streets to cars and made a set of lounge chairs for tourists and locals to sit and enjoy the sights. Now, shutting down a major thoroughfare to cars like that may seem like a recipe for traffic jams on the neighboring streets, but the city actually thinks it might ease congestion. Network scientist Anna Nagurny of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst studies traffic congestion, and she'll be on a panel tomorrow night at the World Science Festival, along with Princeton mathematical biologist Ian Cousin, who studies the way all animals behave in crowds, from swarms of bees to human beings. And they both join us now to talk about what we can learn about traffic flows from biological science. Welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
Professor Nagurny, have you had a chance to check out the new Times Square yet?
Yes, I took the train in from Amherst, Massachusetts, actually drove in first, and then via our fantastic taxi driver, we went right past it. It was terrific to see all the pedestrians, the people really happy, and the taxi driver said it was also really well done, and he was very pleased by it, which frankly shocked me.
Your title is network scientist. What does a network scientist do?
I study how actually decision makers behave on different kinds of network systems, from transportation networks to telecommunication networks, and I even study electric power generation distribution networks and financial networks, which is a very hot topic.
And how does that apply to traffic?
Well, I think of actually transportation as being the paradigm for all sorts of different network systems, because we're talking about movement and flows across space and time, and we could have vehicles and people moving, we could have electrons or computer messages moving, we could have those financial currencies moving.
And Professor Cousin, as a biological scientist, a Princeton mathematical biologist, what do ants or beads or bees or birds have to do with traffic jams?
Well, I mean, ants are the masters of traffic on networks. I mean, if you observe a colony of ants, you hardly ever see congestion. The ant flow is extremely efficient. And remember, these are very small, simple insects, and they're not controlled by a queen. There's no one telling them where to go or what to do. It's what we call self-organized behavior, where the ants, just by following simple local interaction rules, can actually find ways around congestion.
Are human beings moving en masse able to organize themselves the way that a column of ants can? I mean, are you trying to make an analogy like that?
Well, there are some analogies, yes. I mean, ants will actually spontaneously form traffic lanes whereby the ants that are returning to the nest carrying food, the sort of, you know, sort of truckers of the ant world, take the central lane, and the ants leaving the colony take two outbound lanes. And this actually acts to minimize congestion. But there is a fundamental difference between the ants and us. The ants aren't selfish. You know, when we're traveling, we may want to minimize our own travel time, but we don't necessarily care whether we do so at the expense of others. The ants, in actual fact, are all sisters. They're all related to each other, so they're all helping each other out.
And so you have to take this human impulse toward selfishness into account as a network scientist.
Exactly. That's one of the things that we actually study. We have decentralized behavior when individuals or drivers act individually in a selfish manner versus a centralized or unselfish behavior in which we can minimize the total cost to society by routing the traffic from different origin nodes to different destination nodes in an optimal way. And it's interesting, we can actually even implement policies to make sure that the behavior in which humans engage in terms of driving can be optimized also from a system point of view. But there aren't many places in the world that are actually implementing. It's just starting now to have optimal tolls and actually even dynamic tolls and pricing.
So you're both going to be at the World Science Festival on this panel tomorrow. Professor Nagurney, is there anything you can actually learn from Professor Cousins that applies to traffic, or is this just kind of a cute intersection?
Oh, I think it's going to be much more than that, and I hope many of you can join us. I started as an applied math biology major at Brown University, but then I fell in love with economics and networks. So I think we'll be merging kind of discussions, different kinds of fields, different kinds of methodologies, and focusing actually on behavior and flows in the congested world, which is something we all live in today.
So can you get concrete about that? Do you have any idea how you can take a lesson from ant colonies or swarms of bees or whatever and apply it to traffic on Sixth Avenue?
I think if we can actually have the policy set in place in a better way so people understand the benefits of cooperation, we might actually get closer to kind of urban utopias. I think it's possible, but we have to work together.
Okay? Utopias,
which I'm not sure everyone wants to do. Yes, New York is great.
Professor Cousin, would ants or bees be able to move in a group if they had iPods or cell phones?
In actual fact, you know, iPods and cell phones don't change our behavior too much. We also study the motion of pedestrians in crowds. We track very large numbers of pedestrians. And, you know, even though we're very complicated organisms ourselves, you know, capable of love and hate and so on, the actual rules we use when we're in a pedestrian crowd are remarkably simple. Not that dissimilar, believe it or not, to the ants themselves. You know, because we're spending our brain power doing many more interesting things than calculating the exact geometry of how to avoid those coming towards us. And yet we also spontaneously form traffic lanes, and we do some of the things that the ants do too.
Professor Nagurney, could some of these same bits of technology help ease traffic congestion one day? We think about people being distracted, walking down the street on their cell phones or listening to their iPods, but maybe there could be flash mob technology or something where people get texted and, you know, to move a little to the left because there's too much, you know, traffic going the right side of the street or something like that.
Exactly, or even setting signals in a more optimal way so you get better kind of equilibrium states and so forth. Having the infrastructure work with cell phone technologies, that's another kind of innovation. And having also vehicle-to-vehicle kinds of communications, I think, can help in the long term. But what also we need to do, given Obama's stimulus package and so forth, when we start designing networks and enhancing networks, we have to take the behavior of users of those network systems into consideration. And what we're seeing here with Broadway being shut down is actually an inverse of the Bryce paradox. It's not the first time it's been done in New York City. Actually, it was done on Earth Day in 1990 when we had 42nd Street closed and the traffic flow improved.
What's the Bryce paradox?
Bryce paradox is the situation where because of selfish behavior or user-optimized behavior and travelers choosing their optimal routes of travel, when you add a road, it creates maybe another route for travelers, and everyone is worse off. So the travel time gets worse for everyone in the network. So that's very ironic. So in other words, instead of 83 minutes for you to get to work, it's taking everyone, say, 92 minutes to get to work. And that's just very, very important. And it depends on the network topology. It depends upon actually the demand for the services in terms of the infrastructure and so forth. So we have to use rigorous mathematical modeling based on, you know, rigorous computer technologies to predict these kinds of impacts of different kinds of investments.
So
I think that's critical.
Professor Cousin, in biological terms, are delivery vehicles a separate species when it comes to traffic behavior? Can your scientific approaches tell us something about how to incorporate commuters, deliveries, and emergency vehicles into the same traffic infrastructure?
Well, I think you certainly can do. And, I mean, ants are a wonderful species to look at because you have separation of what we call castes, so different types of ants. So there really are some ants that really are the sort of truckers of the ant community. There are other ants that, believe it or not, form bridges out of their own living bodies. So they will form bridges when and where they need them. They'll also form trails when and where they need them. And if those trails aren't used, if they're not reinforced by a chemical, then they literally dissolve in front of your eyes. So the ants can just create the traffic organization and create the structure where and when they need it. Of course, we have a problem because once we build streets, you know, they're fixed there. And this may not be an optimal solution, certainly as societies change and as cities change. And so we also have to learn how to be flexible.
And we're almost out of time, but Professor Nagurdi, you were nodding vigorously at the idea of delivery vehicles as a separate species.
Indeed. We model, for example, multimodal transportation networks and multi-class transportation networks, where people perceive the travel cost in a different way. Commuters perceive travel costs in a different way from, say, elderly people, from, say, students, from, say, business people. And it's very important to capture those kinds of asymmetric interactions and the behavior.
Ian Cousin, an assistant professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at Princeton, and Anna Nagurny, the John F. Smith Memorial Professor in the Department of Finance and Operations Management at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. They are taking part in a panel discussion tomorrow night at the World Science Festival, moderated by our own Robert Krolwich. A link to ticket information is on our website, or you can call 212-348-1400, 348-1400. Fascinating stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, we will start taking your suggestions for a rule book of subway etiquette. You can post your subway etiquette rule proposals now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And speaking of traffic patterns and the current economy, some of you have been calling our Uncommon Economic Indicators hotline with some thoughts about traffic. Let's listen.
The traffic on the Long Island Expressway coming into the city. It used to take me an hour and a half to get to work. Now it takes me just under an hour.
She said that there was absolutely no traffic getting into Manhattan.
A couple of years ago, the rush hour traffic was so heavy with people commuting to their jobs in New York City that it was often stop and go. Lately, traffic is so light that the average speed seems to be 75 to 80 miles an hour.
Traffic at the Route 4, Route 17 intersection at 20th to 7 when I usually hit it. Last year there was traffic. This year I fly right through there. And I work for Yellow Freight, and we have half the amount of drivers and half the amount of freight going in and out of the terminal.
The economy is the thing. I am in trucking, in food. We are feeling the downturn. I've laid off drivers. I've had to park equipment. It's really tough.
I live on a little two-lane highway in Putnam County. There were gondola trucks and big dump trucks and all sorts of construction vehicles constantly passing by my house. And that has all mysteriously gone away.
Traffic as uncommon economic indicators. Some of your calls to our Uncommon Economic Indicators hotline. And by the way, you still have time to enter our Uncommon Economic Indicators video contest. Just show us something we don't know about the economy in your neighborhood in a short video, 2 minutes or less. It could be traffic or it could be something else. And these can be very simple. Raw footage is fine, or a lightly produced piece showing an uncommon economic indicator in your neighborhood. Now, the best few videos will get a screening before a live audience at WNYC's Jerome L. Green Performance Space, and our grand prize winner will be shown at a rooftop films event in Brooklyn. The deadline is June 21st. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see how to enter the first ever Uncommon Economic Indicators video contest. And coming up next in just 60 seconds, what rules would you propose for subway etiquette? Start calling us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What rules would you propose? Let's build a Brian Lehrer Show listener's subway etiquette rule book, 212-433-9692.